But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I've conquered it for you. God transmits his joy to his words. Living a Christ-centered life is the only source of true joy. Joy creates an atmosphere for God to move. Are you blessed already? Very quickly, John 16:3. Let's start our journey from there. John 16:33, Amplified Translation. Hallelujah. This is the economy of joy 2E. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm sure you've been blessed so far. Is that true? The economy of joy. And what a beautiful series. What a well-timed series by the Spirit of God. The feedback has been beautiful. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Put up the scripture. You see, God is very practical. And we should learn from God. Faith is not the denial of facts. Okay? But faith superimposes the truth of God's word, even in the presence of facts. That's very important. In this scripture, Jesus was displaying that practical side of God. Praise God. But in the same place, he shows us God's provision and he shows us our response. And I thought that's so beautiful. Are you with me? He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration. I mean, that sounds like bad news. Amen. Glory to God. But the point is, God doesn't want us to deny the possibilities of troubles, of difficulties in the world. We live in a fallen world that is in the process of restoration. Amen. The Bible says the earnest expectation of all creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means even creation is waiting to be restored. Glory to God. Now, as we wait for the perfect restoration and the culmination of the apogee of that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But see, as we wait for that, we have to understand that we live in an imperfect world. We live in a world of trials, of tribulations, of challenges, of difficulties. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to come to you. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So, this is Jesus being very practical, being very pragmatic, being very real. Now, for those who want a real Jesus, you are seeing a real Jesus now. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when you teach faith and the other side of faith, and you're talking about our victory in Christ, there are those who say, well, let's be real. I got good news for you. This is Jesus being real. He says, in the world, you have tribulations, you have distress, you have frustration. But he doesn't stop there. He said, but, a very destructive word, isn't it? But be of good cheer. Meaning you can be happy. Meaning be joyful. He said, take courage, be confident, be certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Meaning I've done something about the world you are facing. Glory to God. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Hallelujah. You shouldn't leave such a verse sad. Glory to God. It should inject some joy to your spirit. Glory to God. But what the point is clear, that God is practical. He tells us of the possibilities of difficulties, distresses, challenges that we'll face in this world. But he shows us what he has done about it. And he tells us our response. What has he done about it? He said, I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of the power to harm you. What should be your response? It's a be of good cheer. That's what I'm trying to show you there. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be undaunted. because I have done something. Hallelujah. So we see that joy is our response to what God has done. He's our response to our revelation of what he has already done. That's what he's saying here. Glory to God forevermore. Last week was amazing, don't you think so? And the same thing with Tuesday. Hallelujah. Amen. We said God communicates his joy through his words. John chapter 15 verse 11. Let's read that today. What are the striking points for you? Can I have two from the congregations from last week? Striking point? Joy is a focus. Beautiful. Before it's a feeling. What else? Joy is a fight. We'll hear more about that today. What else? TOP area. What else? Joy is a message of hope to a dying world. Glory to God. Can I get one more? Joy is a fetcher. Hallelujah. Vuga. What do you call it? You guys are all laughing at me. Vuga. Vuga. Guga. Okay, it's not Buga. Hallelujah. Guga. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let me write a few striking points from last week here. I just want to bring attention to. If you are not joyful, check who is the Lord of your ears. If the gospel rules your heart, joy will fill. Sorry, if the gospel rules your ear, joy will fill your heart. Hallelujah. That was remarkable, isn't it? Glory to God. All right. He said, these things I've spoken unto you that you may have, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Hallelujah. He says, these things I've said unto you, I've spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you. So we say that God wants you joyful. He wants you happy. God wants you to be happy. Hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong with the word happy. Amen. It's the definition that the word has given it. Glory to God. Happiness is an expression of joy. In fact, it is said that in the English language, the word blessed up until about 18th century or so was translated happy and fortunate. Glory to God. Before they had other synonyms to explain the word blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God wants you to be joyful and is committed to helping you to be joyful. And his strategy for communicating his joy is his word. I need to understand that. Is his word. That's his strategy. Is his word. Hallelujah. We said last week that a Christ-centered life is the source of true joy. You remember that? A Christ-centered life or Christ-centered living is the source of true joy. You see, it takes humility to receive the wisdom of God. But you see, the wisdom of God is a secret of success on the earth. The wisdom of God, the reason for failure, the reason for frustration in our generation is because people are too modern for the ancient world. They are too modern. The wisdom of God is a power. Glory to God. The wisdom of God is not human advice. That is the wisdom of men. The wisdom of God is not just mere opinion. The wisdom of God is a force. When a believer subscribes to God's wisdom, he begins to live a life of power. Are you with me? And you see, God's wisdom is revealed in his word. Humility means when God communicates his wisdom through his word, you are humble enough to drop your opinion like hot potatoes, like we say, and then embrace his word, embrace his wisdom, because in that wisdom is life, in that wisdom is power, in that wisdom is solution, in that wisdom is what you are looking for. Listen, in that wisdom is what you need that you don't even know that you need. Is it the wisdom of God? For example, Philippians 4:4, we read it. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. When such word comes to you, don't argue again. Don't say, hey, but I feel. There is no but. There is no if. Humility says, God, is this what you are saying? You know better than me. If you command me, if you are commanding me to be joyful, that means I have the ability to respond. Yes, sir. And that means I can respond. Let me tell you this. The power to obey the word is in the word. It's unleashed when you embrace it with humility. The problem most people have is they are coming to God's word with preconceived notions. They are coming to God's word with more affinity for their feelings. I said this last week Sunday, I believe. This generation is too attached to feelings. We are making a God out of feelings. It's so bad in certain places that people can abandon facts. This is obvious facts and statistics. They'll tell you, but this is how I feel. Hallelujah. And I believe Satan engineered the generation to get us to that point. But that devil is a liar. Amen. And Jesus the Messiah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what am I saying? This is the wisdom of God. God wants you joyful. Embrace it. As you are hearing God's word, don't harden your heart. You know, I pastored for a while. You preach a message about something, and somebody will come and be like, but I don't feel like. And I'm like, God's word has no provision for these your feelings. Receive it. It will make you feel like. The Bible says it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let him walk in you. The beginning is yes, sir. Lord, this is how I feel right now, but I believe your word. We have to learn that thing. Lord, this is what is around me, but your word is superior. I choose your report over the report of my senses, over the testimony of my eyes, my ears, my skin, my tongue, my nose. Your five physical senses. I decide to go with what you are saying, not what I feel. You see, that courage of training your mind to quickly respond to God like that will trickle down other areas of your life. That's the truth. You see that you are someone who makes the right decisions. Because you are flexible. How do I put this? You are susceptible to God's instructions. You are malleable. You respond quickly to God's word without bringing the conflicting interest of your feelings and of your mind. You are. So it becomes easy. I'm a pastor. If I tell you some things, you can't believe. There are people who come for counseling and you tell them, look, I don't think this is the right guy for you to marry. And after some time, they'll tell the boss, sir, I want to marry him. And I want you to know, how do you get there? You know why? That training to always respond to God's word, even in the simple things without bringing your feelings, it trains you to be a doer of the word. To be an obedient believer. Listen, feelings are bad drivers, but good passengers. You must be the driver of the vehicle of your life. And the roadmap must be God's word. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. We say joy is a focus. Psalm 16, that was where we stopped last week. Psalm 16, 8 to 9. Let's read again. Joy is first a focus before it's a feeling. And that was such a blessing. How many of you tweeted that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is it church code? Joy is a focus, joy is a fight. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and joy is a fight. We'll complete that today. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because it's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Amen. Last week we spoke about focusing on the lordship of Jesus, right? Focusing on his lordship of love and focusing on his being a love slave of Jesus. That's where we stopped. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this week I want to take that focus on the Lord to another level. Write this down. See God as your source and as your proactive supply. See God as your source. We're talking about putting the Lord always before you as a generator of joy. See God as your source and as your proactive supply. What do I mean by proactive supply? You see, something happened in Genesis 22 where Abraham, the Bible said Abraham named the place Jireh. Can you remember that? When God gave him an instruction to take his son, thine only son whom thou lovest, take him to the mountain of Moriah and offer him in the place that I will show you. And by the time he got to the mountain, what a man of faith. By the time he got to the mountain, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham had assured his heart. He was certain that even after sacrificing Isaac, God was going to raise him up. Hallelujah. But looking in the New Testament, we know that that was a prophetic parable about God's provision for salvation. But you see, in that prophetic parable of the revelation of Jireh, we see God as a proactive supplier. That means before Abraham got there, there was a ram caught in a ticket. Are you with me? And that was what Abraham was alluding to. Listen, God is big enough. You know, most times the limitation we have is the limitation of time, space, and matter. And unfortunately, we try to trap God in time. So when we arrive at certain junctions of our life and we need things urgently, we think that it is why we are praying that God is manufacturing what we need. But I want you to think differently. I want you to see God as a proactive supply. That means before, look at salvation. Before you ever thought of the need to be saved, he made provision for salvation. How many of you prayed and fasted and said, Lord, I think we need salvation. Can you send your son to come and die for us? Was that what happened? No! He was proactive. Before you could think it, that you needed a savior, he provided one. Before you could think it, that you needed salvation, he made provision. The Bible said, how shall he not also? Yeah. With him freely, freely, kabekota, freely, freely. Yeah. Romans 8:32. Freely give us all things. What he's saying there is, the same way God proactively supplied for salvation, he has made provision before your needs, before the needs came. Can I get an amen? You must see God that way. And if you are getting, it's as though you are getting under pressure, and it's as though what you are praying for, what you want, what you plan for, is not coming as fast as you expected, trust God. Believe that he knows. Believe that he will show up on time. Believe that there's always a ram caught in a ticket. Always. Why? He is your source. He is your proactive supply. Put him always before you. Now, if you truly believe what I said, it will reduce your stress 70%, if not more. Just knowing that, look, God thought about me. God thought about this. He had thought about this before he showed up. Your flesh will rest in hope. Your heart will be glad. Your tongue will rejoice. Set the Lord always before you. Listen, he's big enough to take care of you. He's big. He made a king out of a shepherd boy from the backside of the desert. He made a prime minister out of an ex-convict. Hopeless ex-convict. All he had was a dream. Are you with me? He made a great grandmother of Jesus out of a harlot. I love the Bible. When Rahab was being mentioned, he said, Rahab the harlot. So he can pain you. Are you here? Because you are not the standard measurement. You are not the SI units for God's mercy. So you can't tell him who you should show mercy to. But glory to God, we are the recipient of his mercy. Listen, there's nothing that is too good for you. Absolutely nothing. He's a Rahab the harlot. Hallelujah. And I know God put those things in scriptures to give everybody hope. I told somebody one day, I said, there's no place you are coming from that God has not brought somebody from. Do you understand that? You're not the first. Meaning, don't tell me how battered, shattered your background is. God can make something beautiful out of it. Don't tell me how useless you feel. That's your feeling. And if you're looking at yourself, your focus is wrong. I've set the Lord always before me. See, your resolve at every time teaches you always, what can God make out of my life? He can make something beautiful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Set the Lord always before you. It will kill anxiety. It will kill fear. He's your supply. He knows what you need. Somebody said, but it's not happening as fast. I'll talk about that next week. It's not happening as fast. Have you ever read, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose? The most important thing is your walk with God. The most important thing is that you are maintaining a functional altar. That's the most important thing. Every other thing will arrange themselves. And in retrospect, you see that God in his wisdom had dealt wondrously and graciously with you. When you look behind, truly, if you can be patient, if you can trust God and let God's word guide you in the process of time, you will look back and say, Father, thank you. You are the all-wise God. You will look back and say, Father, thank you. You showed up at the right time. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Tap your neighbor. Ask them, do you trust God? Are you sure you trust God? Give me 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. In Amplified Classic. I'm giving you focus for your joy. Amplified Classic. I want you to read it if you can see the screen. Read it for me. 1, 2, go. Once and for all. On who? Stop. He said, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. Thank God I spoke about submitting to the wisdom of God. If he said, cast it on him, what are you supposed to do? Cast it once and for all on him. Why? For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you how? Watchfully. Watchfully means God is in the details. He knows. He knows. Have you ever been there where you are thinking, Lord, are you really thinking about me? Lord, am I really on your mind? Lord, am I really the apple of your eyes? It's like you've not touched your eyes a while. Amen. Hallelujah. Of course, that's the metaphor describing how much you mean to him. It's a figure of speech, rather, that describes how much you mean to him. Casting all your cares, your worries on him. He said once and for all, for he cares for you affectionately. He cares about you watchfully. Why are you carrying the load? You are not the one to carry it. He said cast it on him. Cast it on him. Cast it. Well, are you humble enough? Cast it on him. That's humility. If he said bring it on, he says bring it on. Cast it on him. Hallelujah. Say no more load. I know what to do with the anxiety. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19. Romans 8:32. Setting the Lord always before you. Always. Habeleko Pataya. And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Do I need to explain that? Say, I have a proactive supply, and that's who is before me. Hallelujah. Sila. Let it sink. Romans 8:32. Hi. He that spared not his own son. Put it up. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us how many things? All things. How did he deliver him up? How did he give his own son? Before you asked. So listen, supply is waiting. Don't get worried over nothing. Supply is waiting. And your joy is a major disposition in accessing that supply. Supply is with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Second thing, focus on the concerns of others. We mentioned that briefly last week. And I just want to share a few things there before we move on. Focus on the concerns of others. Philippians 1:3 to 5, very quickly. Remember, Philippians is a landing page. And by the way, how many of you have read the book of Philippians? Let me see your hand. Amen. In the course of this series, let me see your hand. You read the book of Philippians in the course of the series. Thank you, beautiful. If you have not, read it this week, because I'll ask next week Sunday. Hallelujah. So that your hand can go up too. Glory to God. All right. Philippians 1. Look at this. Now, we began to draw lessons from the life of Paul. Okay, we said Paul was Christ-centered. Paul saw Jesus as his Lord. He saw himself as God's property. We shared that last week. Okay, he said he was a bond servant of Jesus. And we explained what a bond servant is, or who a bond servant is. Praise God. Now, in the second part of being focused on the concern of others, we can see that in the life of Paul. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Next verse. Every remembrance of you. Paul was so concerned. We'll see that in the course of this study. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. Always. In every prayer of mine, that means what he's saying is he always prayed for them. When was the last time you prayed for others? You know, in church today, There are certain prayer points you can be sure will raise dust. You know, raise dust. Hey, people will pray and carry chair. Hey, my father, as I begin to pray, every enemy blocking my path, die by fire, roast by fire. Amen. Are you ready? Pray, and then you see people pray. Am I saying there's something wrong with the prayer point? No. I'm bringing your attention to priority here. And then in the same church, let me not mention any location. I said, let's pray for our brethren in Maiduguri that have been persecuted. Let's pray for them. That God will strengthen them and send them help. They start meditating. Brethren, can we pray? I know such people are not in this church. He said, always in every prayer of mine for you, I make requests with joy. With joy. Hallelujah. He was focused on the concern of others. Verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day up until now. Hallelujah. He was. And you see, when you are focused on the concern of others, when you look beyond you and you have someone who is concerned about others, you will not be a loner. Let me tell you, and I'm not talking about being an introvert here. Most loners are self-centered. Do you know what I mean? Especially when people are staying away from people because they don't want to be hurt, they don't want to be bruised, especially in the context of the local church. Let me tell you this. You see, statistically speaking, those who are drawn to themselves are more at risk of suicide than those who interact with people. And like I said, I'm not talking about introvert, extrovert. Those are just personality type. I'm talking about people who are withdrawn. Okay. Especially because they don't want to carry the baggages of others. They don't want the stress. Let me tell you. And this is in the context of the kingdom of God. You are not designed to live life alone. You are designed to live life in community and in groups. Are you with me? The fulfillment of your destiny is impossible by being alone. Don't be alone. You see, interacting with someone said, but I've been hurt. I trusted. Listen, as long as you're on this side of eternity, you have to trust again and again and again. It doesn't matter how many times you've been betrayed. If pastors were to close churches because of betrayal, there will not be churches. Can I get an amen? You won't have where to worship. All of us would have gone to join business. Amen. Just let's practice our career. Let's be everybody carry a while and go. Are you with me? There's nothing like that. That hiding away, that excuse of I want my space, my mental health is important to me, and you are staying away from people, is actually detrimental to your mental health in the long run. You grow. Listen, God uses the character, the attitude of others to shape us. Because you see, your relationship with others, your function, especially, you know why it's important in God's house? This is why in the house of God, you should belong to groups, belong to units. Look for opportunities to serve with others. You know why? You see, in the house of God, your expectation of love is higher. So when you don't get it, it has a more significant impact on your love work than interacting with an unbeliever. Are you with me? Hope you understood what I just said. If you're interacting with an unbeliever and they hurt you, well, you can say, well, they are unbelievers anyway. But in church, you expected that everybody was a saint. Glory to God. Until somebody eyed you, I'd be like, really? Wow. And suddenly remember that you're older than her. You're more educated. But God will tell you to calm down. What is God doing? He's building character in you. Listen, with God, His purpose is building your character. The Bible says you are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is God's purpose. He's building the image of His Son in you. And to God, that's more important than your comfort. Are you with me? You see, there are sometimes self, there are annoying people that God will insist you keep around you. No, will teach you walk away, eh? But that sometimes they are annoying people. It has happened to me before. I had an annoying, oh God, this guy is so annoying me. Truly. But every time I think about it, I'm up to now, I don't know the purpose. We're still friends, amen. But God will always, I always feel this nudge in your heart. That is your friend, don't leave him. Can you imagine? Amen. Glory to God. Don't be a loner. Bear the burdens of others. Hallelujah. Yeah, God uses people to work, to do good works in your character. Amen. Concern for others. That's what a Christ-focused life means. I told you about Carl Menninger's response last week. The former American psychiatrist in Topeka, Kansas. The founder of the Menninger Foundation, the Menninger Clinic. I mentioned it last week, right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You know, he was approached and he was asked, what do you tell people who are having nervous breakdown and are getting depressed? He said, I tell my patient, get out of your house, shut your door, go to the seediest neighborhood of town, or the poorest poorest part of town, and help people. You'll return happy. Hallelujah. And that is true. You see, self-centeredness conditions you for sadness. I can tell you that. Nobody's even checking on me. Nobody cares. Who do you care for? Listen, if you begin to care for others, you don't really care who cares for you. You don't have that time. So why not take the posture of the one who cares for others? Of the one who is interested in how others are faring? Take the focus off you for once. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's something we've figured out in pastoral ministry is real. Number three, see circumstances as opportunities. See circumstances as opportunities. That means you see situations, even the unpleasant ones, through God's eyes. Are you with me? We have said again and again that Christianity is not a denial of challenges. However, our joy is called. Our joy has nothing to do with happenings. Glory to God. But you see, you must see circumstances as opportunities for your growth. I'm teaching you the disposition that makes your joy, that will help your joy flow. The disposition of a Christ-centered life. Are you with me? You see circumstances as opportunities to grow, as opportunities to manifest the victory of Jesus, as opportunities for Jesus to be glorified. Hallelujah. Philippians 1, 12 to 14, very quickly. Look at Paul's perspective very quickly. He said, but I would you show understanding, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That was the way Paul saw things. Next verse. So that my bonds, okay, let's read it earlier. Can you give me verse 8? Verse 9, start from around verse 10. Okay, 11. Being free, okay, what I'm looking for is further. So go back to 12 now. Go back to 12, 13, 14. Are you blessed? He said, the things that befell me have fallen rather onto the furtherance of the gospel. He always saw the good side of everything. I told you before, If Paul was in this generation of African Christians, he would have gone for deliverance many times. He would have gone to break generational curses. Amen. No, he has to. Read 2 Corinthians 1. You see what I'm talking about. You see it there. How can you survive shipwreck? You were in the deep for days. Then you came to the island. As they were gathering sticks for you to keep warm, a viper fastened his hand. Even the people agree. Said, Kai, this is a bad man. Nemesis has befallen him. But Paul, he never crossed Paul's mind. The guy, maybe I need deliverance. Deliverance from what? From who? A viper fastened to his hand. The Bible says the people were looking at him, expecting him to fall and die. To swell and fall and die. Viperidae, right? It's vasotoxic, cardiotoxic. So it destroys the blood vessels, then hematotoxic, right? Then you have some edema. The person swells and then dies. They were waiting for that. They waited in vain. And they changed their mouth. Kalabaya. Hiya. Oh, glory to God. It's the same Paul. He said, the things that befell me have fallen rather for the furtherance of the gospel. His perspective was different. Remember, he was in chains, though, but he saw his chains as opportunities. In fact, historians tell us that the guards that took care of this prison in the days of Nero were an elite court team in the Roman army. Very elite court team. And that Paul was able to convert many of them while he was in prison. And that was responsible for the widespread of the gospel in Rome after the death of Paul. Aye. But you see, a self-centered person cannot see that. He can see just suck. Oh, I was preaching. Oh, what did I do wrong? Oh, God, was I not answering the call? Oh, see, me and my wife are suffering. Oh, what's happening? Is our ministry supposed to be keep quiet? He said, the things that befell me had fallen rather onto the furtherance of the gospel. Don't be negative. In the worst of circumstances, see light. Once you can see that, your joy will be unhindered. It will be unhindered. I would to God you say things like, ah, Lord, I'm going through this so that I can encourage those who will pass through this in the years to come, because I know I'm coming out. What a disposition. That would be beautiful. Instead of sucking and looking for pity party. See circumstances as opportunities to grow, opportunities to manifest the victory of Jesus. Next verse. Oh my God, am I preaching good? Hallelujah. It says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. I gave you the historical background, and in all other places. Listen, compare the whole Rome being taken and Paul being in prison. He saw it as an opportunity. Verse 14. It says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of God with fear. Agevarakaya. He was in prison. He was in bonds. He was in chains. He said, look, through this chain, through my resolve in Rome, hallelujah, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus, he brought me to prison. But guess what? My bond had given confidence to many brethren. And because of my bond, they are speaking the gospel boldly without fear. How do you see the things that happen to you? Let me tell you, all those sucking and self-pity is self-centeredness. You will raise your vision. As the Lord, I see clearer. I see better. There's a higher purpose. There's something you can do with this. How dare you complain to God? Why did I come from this family? Are you all right? Really, who should come from there? to you because you can handle it. He's in your path. He's part of your eon. Glory to God. Use the tools you have. Use your understanding of authority, of righteousness. Use the grace of God to make a beautiful story out of that situation and do it joyfully. Do it joyfully. Don't make a God out of your feelings. Let me tell you, you may not hear this all the time. We will not all marry early. Whether you marry late or early, enjoy your own story. We are all Jacob's sons, but we will not all be prime ministers. Whether you are the prime minister or the brother of the prime minister, enjoy your own story. And guess what, in eternity, when you look behind, there are things that are more significant than what your eyes are seeing now. Listen, the most important thing from the house of Jacob was the Messiah coming. Guess what? He didn't come to the one who became prime minister. He came to Judah. Imagine Judah sucking. I'm not the prime minister. But the most important thing happened to Judah. So enjoy your life. Get out of the prison that society and cultural expectations have put you. Get out of it. Get out of it. Are you here? Glory to God. Are you blessed? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Paul had enemies, verse 15 and 16. You can put it up, 15, 16. He had enemies. People envied him. But it didn't matter. He saw the big picture. He said some indeed preached Christ even of envy and strife. Can you imagine? Paul had other ministers who were envying him, who were walking in strife towards him, and some also of goodwill. Next verse, we'll keep reading down. One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. That means as he was in prison, people were still, because of strife and envy, they were making his punishment worse. But Paul was not offended. Listen, don't let the actions of others affect your response. Don't let it rob you of your joy. People will be people. It doesn't matter. See the bigger picture. Next verse. But the order of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Next verse. He said, what then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Aya! And I daring to rejoice. Yeah, I will rejoice. What a man. I feel like crying. What a man. He said, whatever, it's not a problem. Christ is my priority. He is preached. And in this one, I rejoice. You may not know what he's talking about until you have been betrayed. Until you have suffered from strife. Let me tell you. Anybody working in strife and envy is a potential monster. You have no idea what untamed strife and envy and jealousy can do. And that's why you must protect your heart from that contamination of hell. Protect your mind from it. This is what Paul went through. But you know what he said? He said, notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. That's the most important thing. I told you, a Christ-centered life. A Christ-centered life. A Christ-centered life is not you. A Christ-centered life. Christ-centered living. He said, therein do I rejoice. Yea, and we rejoice. That means I'm rejoicing now and I'll keep rejoicing. Don't bother about me. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a life. So you don't let difficult people. Oh God, let's see if we can rush it. Let me jump that now. Are you blessed? All right, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So just only joy is a focus. Amen. All right, so we're in the proper tone now. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We can put it up. See, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Fruits grow on trees. Amen. I know when you are young, your uncle told you, if you swallow that orange seed, orange will grow on your head. Were you told that? Some of you actually believed. And you're waiting. And say, you swallow the seed, it will grow on your head. Let me see your hand. Were you ever told that? Oh, we all grew up in Nigeria. Have you noticed our childhoods are similar, very similar. Do you ever hear that story that Nigeria and India played and they scored 100 goals? 99-1. And they banned India from World Cup. I said, as they were playing, who was the goalkeeper? They said, it's all Lion. Hey, the guy took off. Scam. Hey, scam. We were scammed. They say, if you drank Coke and mango, you would die. You are told to. I didn't know. if you swallow this orange seed, orange will grow on your head. One of my uncles told Pastor G that when he was small, he said, I like it too. I'll be plugging the orange on my head. Hallelujah. Well, trees, fruits grow on trees. Fruits grow. I'm not a comedian. Amen. Praise God. Fruits grow on trees. Praise God. So the lesson here is very simple, okay? The tree is your spirit. You say the fruit of the spirit. The spirit here is not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the fruit of your human, regenerated human spirit. So you say the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace. Hallelujah. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. So it's simple. The tree is your spirit. The fruit is joy. You see, for trees to produce fruit, they must draw nutrients from the ground and sunlight, light from the sun to produce fruit. So the lesson is very simple. Your spirit man, which is a tree of joy, needs nutrients. The more you feed your spirit, the more joy can flow. Are you with me? The more joy can flow. That's what he's saying. This is the secret of joy. You feed your spirit with truth, and the word of God is the food for your spirit. He said, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You cannot feed your spirit with comedy skits, with secular media all week long, and then take an hour of cold snack. No, we serve hot food here. Amen. Hallelujah. Of course, you can't eat once a week and expect to be strong and expect to be fully fed. Are you with me? But most times, that's what people do. This is input output. If you can feed your spirit man with the word of God, joy will flow naturally. Hallelujah. Joy will flow. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. In Amplified, put it up for me. He said, the same thought and study you give to the truth that you hear amplified. And I said, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more beside will be given to you who hear. Thoughts and study. He's talking about feeding your spirit. Joy will flow. Joy. You see, fruits, trees don't struggle to produce fruit. Have you ever seen a mango tree close to your house doing like this? They say, Mr. Mango, what's going on? He say, now fruit, oh, now fruit, I won't produce like this. Now fruit. No, listen. Fruitfulness is effortless when nutrient is being drawn. Are you with me? So feed your spirit. Eat the word. Let's get to know my favorite scripture, Jeremiah 15:16. I'm going to shout from already, so you should shout. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Put it up. Remarkable. 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 Oh, glory to God. Every Bible I've had from when I was a teenager had this verse on the line. Every Bible I've had. Maybe primary school, I'm not sure. But at least junior, secondary school, no. Had this on the line. Are you ready to read it? One to go. Shout. He says, thy words were found and I did eat them. So you can't, your words are found. That means it's not on the surface. Amen. You look for it. So is it feeding your spirit with the word? It is not reading Bible. And the Lord said, and no. We're talking about Christ being revealed to you. He's talking about seeing Christ as God's ultimate provision. Are you with me? Glory to God. Because he's the center of scriptures. Hallelujah. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I ate them. Oh, glory to God. I ate them. The word of God is spiritual. So what part of you eats the word? Your spirit. Your spirit. And I did eat them. And what happened? And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word became the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. So joy is a fruit. You feed the tree and the fruit will come out. You see, your relationship with the world cannot stop on Sunday morning. No, it can't. I believe part of the reason that God has increased the knowledge in the area of technology in our generation is to help the propagation of the word and to help the speed of the development of disciples. But unfortunately, it's becoming a distraction. Don't let technology distract you. Use it to your advantage. So your tablet, your phone is not the hub of social media and useless chats. It's the place of building and development. Are you with me? Same with your laptop, with your devices. Same with your internet. Interface with the word. Don't have partial contact. Interface with the word. Feed. He said, I was found. That means he was looking for it. There was hunger there. And I did eat them. I did eat them. Hearing the word is eating. Meditation is eating. Ruminating. You understand? That means your mouth is muttering it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yes, my shepherd. No lack, no scarcity anywhere. He is the strength of my life. The Lord is my refuge and my strength. My very present help in time of need. Thank you, Lord. You are my refuge. You are ruminating. You are eating. I did eat them. Eat the word. Eat. Eat. Voraciously consume the word. When we pick your phone, messages. If you are still asking, is secular music a sin? Is doing secular music a sin? You are not preparing for a destiny in God. Amen. You are playing Ludo with your life. It's simple. You are asking. Listen, music permeates the hemispheres of your brain without your consent. And in the realm of the spirit, there are no middle ground. There is no demilitarized zone. That means you are either on God's side or on Satan's side. Meaning that thing you are listening to, and it's so sad. Every time I see believers on their status and they put music, you are playing a song that propagates extramarital sex, and you are speaking in tongues. I said, no, me, I don't believe in extramarital sex, so. But the guy singing is telling you that he wants to sleep with three people. Yes. Mother and daughter. And you are listening to it. And it's one of your faves. Some of your faves. It's one of your faves. Then the next song is now Nathaniel Bassey. I don't know how they do. You are wicked. How did they be? Next song. In the next verse, Nathan Ebasi. Adonai, keep quiet. Only you are a mixed multitude. Only you. After playing an antichrist song, a song that does not defend the values of the kingdom, then your next slide you are playing Pastor Nat. You are wicked. Only you are a mixed multitude. We are praying for you. See, you've got to be a person of conviction, a person of persuasion. Are you with me? Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And it's not hard. Just change your mind. Metanoia. Just change your mind. Change direction. I don't want this. That's all. You say the song is sweet. It's not sweet. There are better kingdom songs. That's the truth. You know, this generation, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Hallelujah. How did I get here? Eat the word. Joy is a fruit. You have to feed it. Hallelujah. Eat the word. Lastly, joy is a fight. Hallelujah. Joy is a fight. We've given you reasons, and you must have noticed by yourself that Satan fights your joy. He wants to steal your joy. He knows the power of your joy. You remember, Satan cannot vanquish a joyful believer. So fight for your joy. Listen, your joy is your responsibility. Fight for it. Your joy is your responsibility. Fight for it. Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. This fight means sacrifice. Put the scripture up for me. It means sacrifice. Psalm 27 verse 6. The B part. Sacrifice means you are going beyond convenience, isn't it? So fighting for your joy means sacrifice. Because sometimes staying joyful is beyond your convenience. Look at this. He said, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of what? Of joy. I will sing yea. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Sacrifices of joy. Sacrifices connotes going beyond convenience. Are you with me? It's a fight. It's a fight. It's a fight. Now we have exposed your adversary. So fight. You have the advantage. Fight. Don't let Satan take your shout. You see, there are days you just wake up for no reason. Your mind cannot lay hold on the reason. You are just feeling anyhow. Feeling one kind. You are just there. Has it ever happened to you? It happens to everybody. Everybody just wake up and you feel tired of life. You don't feel like trying anymore. Fight! You just wake up with that. You just, oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's the strength of my life. He's my shield, my buckler. Oh, see, when you do that for 5 minutes, the springs of joy within your spirit will start pim, you know, when the spring is coming on, pim, 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 until it becomes, oh, glory to God, a fountain, gusher. Somebody asks me, Wugusor, I say, how is Mr. Wugusor feeling this morning? He said, I tell Wugusor how you should feel. I tell Wugusor how you should feel. That's a man of faith. Your feelings don't tell you how you should feel. You should tell your feelings how you should feel. Can I get an amen? Amen. Fight for your joy. Fight for your shout. Because your harvest is connected to your shout. The shout of the king must not disappear from your home. The shout of the king must not disappear from your mouth. He said, the Lord is God is with him. And the shout of the king is among them. Hallelujah. Yes, so the fight is a sacrifice. The fight is a surrender. This is where we'll stop. The fight is a surrender. A surrender to God's plan. To God's plans for your life. It will multiply your joy. Surrender means you trust God. You trust his word. It's a surrender. And it's a fight to surrender. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you blessed this morning? See, I'm putting up a fight. See, I'm feeding my joy. See, I'm focused on the Lord. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lakabakosisha tolobadigehaya. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you. Just 1 minute. Can you say, Father, thank you for my joy, and then begin to rejoice?
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.